This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we are so excited for you to be with us today. And today's episode is especially close to my heart because I am going to be joined by someone who has not only shaped the lives of animals, but is also deeply shaping my own journey with animals as well. And that person is Christina Fleming. And Christina is an incredible trainer who is actually working with my beloved miniature horses that you've heard me talk about, Romeo and Beignet. But her work goes way beyond training. Christina brings decades of experience as a horse trainer, a deep understanding of animal behavior, and a thoughtful approach to therapy and working animals that really evolves and centers around trust, communication, and absolute respect. But not only is she that, but she's also a writer and a creator who understands something that I truly believe, that animals don't just respond to us, they reflect us. And when we slow down and listen, they can teach us powerful lessons about regulation, presence, and healing. So we've got so many, many wonderful things to talk with Christina about today. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Christina Fleming to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. I'm just ecstatic to have Christina Fleming on the show today. Hello, Christina, and welcome to Working Like Dogs.
Hi, Marcy. Hi, Mark.
Yes, and Mark, our producer extraordinaire, thank you for saying hello to him, Christina. Mark is always behind the scenes and making us possible. So, yes, big welcome and big hug to Mark for all that he does behind the scenes. Well, Christina, I want to hear all about you. And my first question is, how did you first find your way into working with horses? What drew you to horses?
Oh, that goes way back to when I was very young, and it was a teacher, actually, who I think recognized something in myself I hadn't recognized at the time, and she prompted me to spend more time with animals. And then after a little bit of time, she actually had me and several of other students 2 years in a row. For the second year, she approached me and said, I think you need to get into horses. And she sold me my first horse.
Wow. You know, you hear people say that all the time about how teachers, just one teacher can have such an impact on somebody's trajectory. But oh my goodness, that happened to you.
Yes. She was amazing. She was an amazing, Ruth Malloy was her name. She was amazing.
Everybody needs a Ruth. Yeah. Well, so tell us, what did you do when you realized that she was right and you wanted to follow this path? How did you start creating that path?
Well, I didn't have any money. I didn't have access to a place to keep him. I really grew up in a very, I guess I would call it a poor neighborhood. And we didn't have a lot of money as a family. And I babysat for an entire summer every single day and saved the money to actually buy him. And then once I bought him, I had to keep working because I had to keep him someplace, and that someplace was like 15 miles away, and I had to ride my bike there, and I had to pay board. So that's how the whole thing. That was.
Oh my gosh, Christina. How old were you then?
I think I must have been about 12.
Oh, the ripe old age of 12, and you've got a job and fully boarding and supporting this new creature in your life. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Well, that explains so much, Christina. It does.
I had this horse for several years, and then eventually money and things just, you know, were not working out for me. I was a teenager and sold him to a public riding facility that did trail rides. And then ironically, as an adult, went back and became the manager of that facility. By that time, he was gone. But just it's funny how it went full circle from me selling the horse to them and then going back and being the manager.
Yeah. Well, so how did you evolve with it after you got out of high school? What was the next thing that you started in working and training with horses?
Well, I bought a house. That was what really, I think, after the pony, I was 18 and I wanted to have a place that where I can have horses. And I bought a place. I remember this is a long time ago, so it wasn't like it is today, but it was a house for sale on contract and it was an attorney and I didn't have any credit. I had nothing. And I told the guy, I said, I'm hardworking and I'll pay. And he said, okay. And I bought this little 5-acre place and it came with a couple horses, ironically. And that was it. Then I would buy one or two and I would start working with them and get experience. And, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. I wasn't a good rider. I didn't really understand. I think I had a heart for animals, but I didn't really understand. And I think the thing that made it all come together was I have a sibling that has some serious disabilities. And I think that was always in the back of my mind. I think all that was all meant to be, you know, part of the whole entire thing. And eventually went back to the facility that where I'd sold the first horse to, and they had a therapeutic riding program. And
and that got you into it. Ah.
Right. I went actually and got certified at that point.
And tell us about that certification. What was that?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to get certified. This facility is called the Chef Center. It's in Michigan. And I think it's probably the best because it's not something where you do a weekend or you come to your place and you take a test. You actually go there and it's residential and you spend a month there and do all the work and you have to study and you're tested and then you have to do a practical portion of it. And it was really incredible. It was super in-depth and I learned so much and got to meet some amazing people. It was life-changing for sure.
Sounds like it. Well, and so did you start doing therapeutic work right then? Is that when you started working with people or what was your next step?
Well, I think I already had begun working with people at that point. I think the certifications were something that I felt just added credibility to what I already was doing.
Yeah.
So, and especially, following that, I became certified as a riding instructor and as a trail guide and as a overnight pack guide. And I went to the Chehalis Forest in Washington State and then British Columbia and got certified. So there's a lot of ways to do things. I think even though you may feel that you're good at something or people say you're good at something, I think those accreditations really just, it adds credibility to what you're doing.
It does. Yeah. I know. I know some people that are so gifted, but they don't have that. And that's always something that seems to be a barrier for them if they want to have a career or if they really want to move forward. So how would you then describe, Christina, your own training philosophy that you were building and that you have now? How would you describe that?
Well, I think my training philosophy has always been that the horses already know how to do everything. We have to learn how to communicate with them. They're good communicators. We're not. So my training and my lessons really revolve around the communication part and learning how to understand what the horse is telling you because they're telling us so much. And so often we're not listening. That is where the disconnect lies, and they're not listening, not being able to listen and not understanding what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. Yeah. And I have to agree with that. Yeah. What you're saying, that's becoming my experience. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it sounds so simple, but that's hard to do when you're not used to that.
It's funny because I think the more complex things seem, the simpler they really are. And we have to just kind of take a step back and really listen and focus. The other thing I think besides just the communication portion is that it's just one simple thing. And then you always need to think of that one simple thing, and that's apply pressure, get a response, give a reward. And that pressure can be physical, like, you know, a touch or a movement. It could be verbal. It can be a weight shift. It's learning all those different pressures and then recognizing the response. And then the reward needs to be appropriate and intensity enough to facilitate the horse to want to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. And how do you read a horse's emotional or nervous system state and adjust that approach based on what you're picking up from them? How do you read that?
I think that people are, I don't want to say born with it. I think you just have an ability to gauge that. You know, when I meet a new animal, whether it's a horse or a dog or even a human, I have a feeling. I just get a feeling of what they are, and I listen and I watch, and then I have to adjust what I am to get that relationship I need or want or whatever I need to have done. So it doesn't really matter if it's a horse or a person or a dog. That whole response and react, it's the same. You know, I always tell people when they ask that question that if you don't have that, if you're not really open, and it's definitely a vulnerability. I mean, it's an asset, but it's a vulnerability. If you're not open to that, then you get yourself hurt, and you get yourself hurt a lot. And we all are going to get hurt because there's moments when things happen, but you have to be vulnerable and you have to be open to what's coming at you, you know, if that explains it or not.
No, I love that. It is so true. It is vulnerability and trust. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But being vulnerable is difficult.
And behind the vulnerability, though, has to be some really strong confidence, too, because if you don't feel confident enough to be vulnerable, then it's weakness. And I think the animals know that. So I think you have to be confident with vulnerability, which seems like a contradictory thing, but it's really not.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That sounds so contradictory, but you're right. And to me, then it goes to trust. Yeah, you have to trust yourself to be vulnerable and trust them to be vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful, though. That's what makes a beautiful relationship. Yeah, when you have that's honesty to me. Yeah, yeah, that's what I love about animals so much. They're so genuine.
Well, and I've watched you with Romeo, and I see that. That was one of the first things I saw, that you were able to be with him. And like, that's the moment that you're together. And he knows that, and he was connected with that. And animals take you as you are, and at that moment. And that you're able to put aside things and just go work with them. I was really impressed from the second you guys were together, because that's the thing I really can't teach. You have to really work and be genuine and be yourself and be, you know, you can't lie. The horses
right,
see right
you can't
through lies.
With them, right. They see right through you. Yeah, which is so great. Yeah. And for me, it's because I had waited literally almost 60 years to get Romeo. I had waited a long time for him and Beignet. So I was so ready to jump in and try to work with them, which has just been pure heaven. Well, tell us about your involvement with Therapy Horses. So just for full disclosure, I found Christina, and it was like finding a unicorn. Christina, you have been of someone that could help myself and my husband, who is doing this with me, to train Romeo and Beignet to become therapy horses. That's been our goal. So tell us, Christine, about how you got involved with therapy horses and therapy animals in general, because you have a long history.
Yeah. So I started way back in the early 90s, obviously getting the certifications, and then having to purchase horses for the stable that I worked at that had we had 52 head of horses. We had a huge, you know, pool of horses to use for therapy. It takes a certain kind of horse. They can't be the smartest horse. They have to be the kindest, but they have to be almost, I'll use Fred Flintstone. They have to be a Fred Flintstone. That's when you go to work, punch the clock, and do their thing. And that in itself makes them happy and content. There's a certain sparkle about a therapy horse that, you know, they're just not going to question things. They have to have a real gentle soul, and you have to see it. And we would take horses off the killer trucks at the time. They would stop by the stable and say, anything you want on this truck, which sounds terrible. We would take them up and say, yeah, this one or this one. And it was never based on, you know, confirmation. It was based on a look in their eye. It was a kindness. It was just a look. And we would pull them off. And we really had super good luck with horses ending up being really good for us. So it's kind of a odd thing. And then I think early on, the same time, maybe slightly before that, I was buying horses and I would go to sales. And back then, you had only bid against the killers because most horses were taken, you know, for meat. We had to bid against those people and prices weren't very high. And I remember buying horses for a few hundred dollars, taking them home and spending a little bit of time and then actually selling them to therapy programs or to another dude ranch that was south of us that bought lots of horses from me. So I think early on, I just got a feeling for it. And then it kind of evolved into things in the world changing. The American Disabilities Act changed everything.
Yeah.
That that act became a central part of my life and our services at the stable. I ended up being involved with some people on a national level writing some programmatic guidelines for horse programs in the Grand Canyon and other places with some friends and did some guidebooks. And that evolved into some work with the Delta Society, which is now Pet Partners. There were no experts. And I think I kind of ended up becoming an expert because I was there at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was new. Together. Yeah, it was very cutting edge. Yeah, yeah. I love that you were on.
And I remember being at places where they would say, well, we don't have to do that, or we're not going to do that. We can't take people who can't sit up or who can't do this. And I think my attitude had always been, if there were been about can't, it's always been about can. And so it changed.
Yep, you don't cut me and Romeo any slack. Yeah, none at all.
I do not. So no. It really became a positive language of what can we do to facilitate, you know, this horse and this rider or this horse and this handler and this horse and this driver make this the best it can be.
Yeah, I love that. And you are magical with that, Christina. It's your superpower. One of many superpowers. Yeah. Well, we are going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors that we love our sponsors so much, and come right back because we have so much more to talk to Christina Fleming about and her amazing work with horses. So come right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're visiting today with Christina Fleming. And before the break, we were talking about Christina's work with therapy horses and Pet Partners that used to be the Delta Society. And we were sharing about how Christina is working with myself and my two little miniatures, Romeo and Beignet, so that they can become therapy horses. And Christina, I love how you've got us working on a couple of different commands with them. Talk about what you would, because so many of our listeners want to start their own therapy programs, a therapy horse program. I get that all the time from emails and communication from people. So tell us about what you would recommend someone like myself that's brand new into therapy horses. What should they be doing to get themselves prepared to go out into public?
So I think there's two portions to this. One is a program. Are you going to do a full-fledged program, riding program, or you know, something that involves a lot of people, or if you're doing your own therapy horse, there's two different directions. The program type would be something I would hook up with an already established local, you know, national group, a local branch, something like ARC or something that has resources and maybe assess needs first. But as far as doing something like you're doing, which is an individual therapy horse, I think the place to start is with a really good trainer. I think especially if you can find someone that has a certification and or experience with people on therapy horses, that makes a big difference because they know what to look for. They know what personality traits and what level of obedience and you know, how much drive they need to have to do that, because it really does take a special horse. And it's like someone going to a shelter or looking for a dog. You know, they want to see a dog that's really trainable, and they maybe look for, you know, play drive or, you know, treats that motivate the dog to do something. It's kind of the same thing. Finding that animal first is helpful. But I think in your case, you already had the animals there, and that's what we had to work with. And it was just really fortuitous that they were wonderful. And they're both really agreeable. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be where we're at right now. We've come a long way with their training, and we're ready for the next step, as you know, which is to start taking them indoors in new places.
Yes, well, I'm so excited about that. Yes.
Well, me too.
I know, I can't wait. I mean, because as our listeners know, I've been a service dog handler for over 3 decades, and there's a lot of similarities. It is so fun to have Romeo walk beside my wheelchair like we're healing. It's the heel position, basically, of what I'm used to with my service dog. And when I first met him, I couldn't believe how he got into that. And that's how I knew. And I have big shout out to Tori Shoger, who is the person that helped me find Romeo. And it had been such a lifelong dream. But when I found him and he was so comfortable with it, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. And then when I was going to get Romeo, I had to get Beignet because they were best friends. And the two of them, I was learning about that horses were so social. I was so ignorant. I still am and just don't know that much about equines. But I did learn very quickly about the socialization and how much they need that. And so you want to talk a little bit about that, Christine, about that whole, because sure. I didn't want to just have one horse by themselves. I didn't think that was a good thing. So yeah, talk to us about that.
Well, you know, dogs may be pack animals and horses may be herd animals, but dogs are predators and horses are prey. And that dynamic is what really makes you have to adjust. It doesn't mean the procedures of training are different per se. It just means that you have to be aware that the motivations and the need for protection are just different from the two. So with horses, I have never bought into the domination theory. It just doesn't make sense. What makes sense to me in working with horses is to be a protector. You know, dogs will very willingly assume the role of protector, but horses don't do that very rarely. So we have to provide that protection and that safety. And I've over the years have made a little pyramid, like it's like Maslow's pyramid of hierarchy of needs, but it's designed for horses. And that top point of that pyramid is really that training and working with humans. And then you can't do that part. You can't get to the top of the pyramid until the things in the bottom, which are food, you know, shelter, security, all the things are taken care of first. An example I'll give you is if your horse is being chased by dogs every day and is distraught because of that, he's not going to focus on you training him when it's time to train. So you have to build the pyramid and get to the point where it's you and the animal working. Where a dog can do other things and it's different. They protect themselves. So if you're not protecting and being part of that herd as a protector, then you're going to have a more difficult time establishing that trust and that relationship.
And that is so true. Because when you looked at me that one day and told me that Romeo was going to my husband Franz because he saw him as the protector and not me, I was like, yes, ma'am. Okay, I get it. You know, Franz does so many more things for them. So I've started feeding them. I've started taking on more of that role. And thankfully, I have a new wheelchair that will let me do that much better in a corral. Yeah, because those limitations that some of us who are handlers that don't have the mobility. Yeah, all of it's very different than the dogs.
And those things are transferable.
Yeah.
I mean, you can transfer, you know, those things.
I already see a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think as far as having the main handler be involved in the day-to-day care, my personal opinion is that to build that relationship, that's a fast track.
I agree.
You can have a stable board, but it's a fast track to get where you want to be.
Yep, it's a game changer. Yeah, it is. And now me and my husband are competing over it. Yeah, I'm giving him a hard time telling me, hey, you're trying to keep me from doing that. Because, yeah, it is huge in the relationship. It really is. So talk about the training sessions of how someone can get started working with the horse to get them just like what you've been doing with myself.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and this is where people need to take a step back, is the groundwork. You know, horses will tolerate anything for a rider. Once they're a rider, that's fine. But most accidents happen on the ground. And a lot of people with disabilities are going to be working on the ground with the horse and spend the majority of the time on the ground, doing the grooming, you know, doing the specialized mounting, maybe using a mounting block or a mounting ramp. So the groundwork is critical. And as you know, we've spent lots of time teaching the horse that when there's pressure applied, they need to give, and they need to give immediately. And the timing is critical, because if that person doesn't have a lot of strength to move the horse away, or they, let's say in our case, we're working on going to nursing homes, if the horse is too pushy, it needs to be a soft touch to move away. We just need to make sure those skills are cemented. And we need to make sure that everything that we do is backed up with voice, because some people can't necessarily do the physical part of the command. So if they can't, the fail-safe is the voice. So we'll do a lot of working on the whoa and just standing, a lot of moving away from pressure. You know, with you in your chair, you've taken the time to teach your horse to give to any pressure, whether it's you touching him with a chair. He doesn't know the difference. He's going to give either way.
Yeah.
That's been a big thing for him. He's had to learn, and I was amazed, because from day one, it's been great. He's had to learn that any kind of touch means you expect a response. And it can't be a forever push. It has to be light. It has to be exact. And there has to be response. There has to be reward. It's going so well. Romeo is just doing so well. I'm so impressed by him.
I'm so in love with both him and Beignet. I can hardly stand it. It is so beautiful. It is just that relationship, which is the same, the amazing relationship with the canines, but having it with an equine is just, oh my gosh. I can hardly stand it, as you know. Yeah. Well,
dogs will, you know, fall all over you and slobber and be happy. But that's not a horse thing. But
no.
But it is a horse thing. If you allow it to be, and you teach it a part of the reward system, and your horse is a textbook case in a horse, you know, if you watch the opening of one of your videos with you and your horse, you're in the center of the arena and he comes running to you. I mean, that's a dog thing, not a horse thing. People are like, I can't catch my horse. Your horse won't leave you alone. He runs to as fast as he can get there.
I love it. Yeah, it's well. And the other thing, as you talk about voice, that is something that's so important. And I whisper to my service dogs, and that's something that you've taught me in communicating with Romeo. I can whisper to him just like I do with Fenway, and he responds. It doesn't have to. It can be very soft. It's amazing.
Well, and that goes back to the predator prey thing. You know, dogs listen, that's great. But with horses, if they're not totally in tune with what's happening, you know, your vibe, what's happening around you, their surroundings, they're eaten. they don't live the
right.
Next day.
It's over. Exactly. Yeah.
That's right. We assume that they need to be poked and prodded, and they don't need to be. We need to soften, and we need to learn to speak in their language. We need to be more aware and more attuned, and that's on us. That's our problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was going to be one of my questions for you, is what do you wish more people understood about horses?
Well, I think they think they're stupid. I think they think that they don't know what they're doing, and they know everything already. We don't know.
Yeah.
They know everything.
Right? They do.
You have to teach a horse to do anything. You have to teach a horse to understand your language, and it's much easier to speak in their language. I mean, it takes less time.
Yeah.
So I think it's our own faults that make us not have our optimum performance together. It's on us.
Yeah.
I wish they would just, I guess, take a step back and soften and listen and do all those things that we maybe need to do as parents and as good human beings with horses.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds more appropriate than ever in our world today, to just listen and have that respect. Yeah. And we're so used to not having that silence, but having that. I so love nothing more than that breath that I've experienced. I had never really experienced a horse's breath like I have with Romeo. And holy moly, that is so incredible to have that exchange with that animal. And it's so quiet and pure. Whew,
yeah,
that's close to heaven, man. That's like touching another realm. That is just really, it's a gift. Yeah, it's nothing but a gift.
And I don't want people to think that it's all easy and that every horse, even if you're listening, is going to come to you and stand quietly and be good, because that's not real.
No.
The reality is they have personalities like we do, and some are suited to being in therapy or working with someone in a chair or going through mounting ramps. And so some breeds are more hot, some are more willing. And even within breeds, some individuals are quieter, more willing, and others are like, they don't want any part of it. It's just like people. So you have to really search and find the right animal and know where the talent lies to get what you need.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Which is the same with the service dog. You really have to make sure that it's the right match and they have the right temperament and desire. Yeah, that it's something that they want to do. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, I've got to ask you, Christina, out of all your years of experience, what continues to inspire you to do this work?
You know, I'll look back at something I did a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I thought was so great at the time. Like, oh, I did, that was so great. I did something that was really good. And then I look back and I look at it now and think it wasn't good enough. I could have done so much better. And I don't want to say I get disappointed in myself, but I do. I think I could do things better. And I always want to be better. I always want to be a better communicator, a better person. I always want that deeper relationship with the horse that maybe I thought I had before. And I know there's so much more. If you just don't stop, if you keep going, you get better at anything.
Yeah.
And horses are like nothing else. There's no other sports or association that involves crawling on an animal that weighs 10 times more than you do and expecting you to work together and just think about something and have it happen. It is the most challenging thing that you can do, in my opinion. So it's a challenge, and it's the drive to make myself better, I think, all the time. And then to affect change in the whole industry, I think it's gotten better. But I even look back to, when I was young and I was training and I was female, I wasn't getting work because I was female. It was a man's world. And I always thought females were better trainers than men for the most part. They're a lot more aware, and I don't mean to hurt any men's feelings, but I just find a big difference in a lot of female trainers versus male trainers. And I think that's also pushed me, because I always felt I'm good, but I don't get the attention that maybe the guy on the road got because he was a man. So, I have to admit, I'm driven. I'm one of those people.
You are one of the most driven people that I know. Yes, yes. Which is what makes you such an incredible, incredible trainer and partner. It does, Christina. Also, tell our listeners about some of the incredible other things that you're working on, like the music. Because
So I, you know me, I'm not content doing one thing. I don't just sit still when it's time off. So I always have something else going on. I've been writing a book over the years, which I've still not finished. And it's just a horse experience book. And then circumstances here at my house have changed in the last few years that I've spent some time, maybe more time inside than I choose to. And I had an injury a few years ago. It sidelined me for a few years. So that led into more writing. And I've always written. I've written for magazines, freelance magazines for Western Horsemen and The Instructor and the CHA Journal and lots of different magazines. I had a column in a monthly magazine. And that turned into just putting my thoughts down on paper more and more often. And recently, I decided that with all this technology available, I could turn some of those thoughts and some of my feelings into music. So I'm not a singer, but I hopefully have some insight into the horses I know, the animals I know. And it's become a really nice little sideline of writing custom music for horses. And as you know, one of your horse's former owners shows, and they when they show horses in liberty or in freestyle classes, they use music. So that's one specialty area, is to write the music for horses that are showing either liberty or freestyle classes. So the person, so Julianne that owned your horses,
love Julianne,
she has a custom piece for the next show. And when they turn the horses out, it's called at liberty, and the crowd gets to watch the horse move. He'll be doing that to custom music.
Oh, I love
music.
It. Of course she has that. Julianne is so awesome. Of course she does. Yes, and shout out to Julianne. She was Romeo's first mom. Yes, yes. So big, big love to Julianne and Beignet. She was Beignet's mom as well. I love that. I didn't realize that, Christina, that the music, that they could do that. But of course, that makes perfect sense.
So it's not just tribute. It's tribute music, but it's also
more than that. Yeah. Professional. Yeah. Professional for the shows, which is very big deal. Yes. Yeah. Which Julianne is so competitive and does such an amazing job in that world. Yeah. Well, and you wrote one for Romeo. Yes. For Me and Romeo. Oh my gosh. And yes, you did. You have
it's
brought
on Spotify. So people can go on Spotify and find the music. My professional name on Spotify is Vaquera, V-A-Q-U-E-R-A. And some of the songs would be Romeo, of course. And then there's another one for a horse that you've heard all of them, I think, but there's Neon, there's Romeo, there's Zuli, and
yes,
there's the latest one is Running Bear, and that's the pony I owned. That's the first pony I had as a kid.
I love Running Bear. I just saw that. It was so great. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, Christina, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. I could talk to you all day, as you know. It is such a pleasure to be with you any time of the day. And I just so appreciate the work that you're doing and how you show up for animals and how you show up for humans alike. It's just beautiful to watch and be in your universe. So thank you so, so much. And I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I will. Thank you so much. And I just want to say that the videos that I've done with you and Romeo and also with your husband and Beignet, they're so exciting for me. They bring me so much joy. It's one thing to post things online or on Facebook because it's wonderful, but it's the reflection. It's going back and seeing those things. It warms my heart. It really does. It's
well,
it's
you're
amazing.
You're making a huge difference, Christina. You are for me and so many other people. You are every day. Yeah.
Well, the partners page has been a lot. It's been good for me. It's been good.
Tell our listeners where they can find you, Christina.
Well, it's not always easy to find on Facebook. When I started my Facebook journey, I actually made the page, my private page, under my dog's name, who is Marbella. And then I went ahead and added a business page. So it's partners is the page on Facebook is a business page, but the human name associated with it is Marbella Swenson, because that's my lovely dog of 17 years who I lost last month.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So it's the partners page. And if you search Facebook, you can probably find it.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll make sure and share that because I know our listeners are going to want to know more about you and your amazing work. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listeners, for being with us and spending time with us today. We love for you to be with us. And if this episode moved you, I hope it encourages you to slow down and notice the animals in your life and trust that beautiful, quiet wisdom that they offer us every day. And let's stay connected. You know, Fenway, and I love hearing from you. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, you know you can email me at Marcie, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. So thank you so much for being with us. I'm Marcie Davis. This has been Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Take good care and give your dogs and animals an extra hug from me and Fenway. Thanks so much.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.